Oh.
We were talking about your uncles, and then you were talking about how your father had worked.
Yes, we worked for Mr. Bigman's place. About 2 years we worked share, probably, and he gave us everything that we made of it. And we finally got to the place that we did so well on that. We made lots of cotton, and we saved the money from that, and we bought us a little place. But I always give the credit to Mr. T.L. Bivens. And I cared for all the Bivens' children after that time. And I've just been real close to the Bivens family because of the good things they did for us. Because we'd never known to have anything, because we'd have to give up a share of everything we made. Even if we had a good garden, we'd have to share the garden. But Mr. Bivens gave us living at his place for 2 years. He said, if you clean up that place up there, cut down the wood, you have all the wood. And we made extra money by hauling wood to Pickens and selling wood. You know, everybody was burning wood along that time.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd bring loads and loads. And people would come by and say, who you buy this wood from? You tell them, and they'd come up there and they'd bring, we'd get a load of wood out of the wood. That was our money. That's when I began to know what money was.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Bivens, give us the land. If we clean up the land, and everything, the trees and wood that come off of that, he gave it to us, to him. And we sell them all the wood we couldn't use it for us. We'd bring it down here, pick it and sell. Everybody was using it for it, down in the wood for it. There wasn't any coal, there wasn't any gas, any oil you could, you know, like we have now. So we made a real good gold there. We bought us a little home there with the money. And my dad got out and built us a house. And we lived in it as long as he was able.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, by that time, all the rest of us had gotten married and got us a home. You know, I rented about 2 years in the house up there on the top of the hill for level bylaws.
Mm-hmm.
When I got married, my husband's uncle died, and his mother told him he could have the house if we'd fix it up. So we moved out to the end of the street. I know you passed that brick house first one as you come in. That's where we raised our 2 daughters. Then we started working and sent them to college. And when they graduated from college, he went out with us to Clark in Atlanta, where they finished college. And we came back and we built his house right there. And I bought this land here. And he came in from the nursing home and went up to the house and sat down. That was the last. He just went away and left me like that. So I'd just been holding on by myself to my daughter. She went to New York and was in X-ray in the hospital up there. I hate to bring her home, but I couldn't run this place by myself. So
how long have you been running this the nursing home?
Right here, 1950. When I first got the nursing home. Not this one. I have one over on Church Street.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't have up to 20 people. But then That was that East Edinburgh's land that he built for me. And I started from that. Then when I got this, I just thought if I could get one of my own. So Mr. Baker said, why don't you find out about who the land's from? And I went to Mr. Victory. He had a sign out there for sale. And I went to his office, Mr. Victory. Do you know him?
No.
The lawyer Victory. Well, I went to his office and asked him what he wanted. He told me, yes, he wanted to sell it. And I told him I didn't have any money, but I was working over there at the nursing home to give him payments. And he said, that's good enough. So, I didn't have any more sense in the trial. Mm. And I paid him for the land. He said, now, if you wanted to move from over there, I said, the way you paid for the land, you could buy anything you want. Because this would make me swell up in the head, I guess. And I tried it. And I got Mr. Bumgard to come down here and he built his place. So I left that building over there and had my own shown here.
Where was the... You also said you were working in another nursing home when you were younger?
Yes, sir. I worked down in Eastland.
In Eastland.
And there's two ladies. I say I forgot the lady's name. But they had... You know where they... You know what Eastland... Anything about Eastland?
Just a little bit.
Well... Where you're going to Blackfish Camp. You know where that is? Out of Easley. Was on Old Anderson River.
Okay.
Well, out there was a big house. And two ladies were running that house. They got a church there now. And I worked there. I met those ladies. And I just kept it in my head. I believe I can have a nursing home. Because I had a lot of old people. At this time, we couldn't have white people. We could just have only black people. And my brother lived in Spartanburg. And he says, I know an old lady. Says she runs the way her mind was bad. And said her daughter whips her all the time. And he said she'd whip her and put her in the house and lock her up. Because the old lady would get out the window or any place she could get out. And I said, well, bring her over here. And this was my first patient, and I took her. And then people started coming to this different ones that they liked to be here. And then some ladies came down and surveyed, and the SS, they came in. So they could have a lot of people paying for it, and wasn't getting, the families were taking the money and using it and just, you know, giving them something to eat. And whenever the VSS would go to them and talk to them about, oh, they got plenty of food. So they made a survey and found how the families were treating them. They were using this money from the VSS for themselves, going on trips and letting the poor people, you know. So I took them all in. And I have 44 patients. Mm-hmm. And we give them everything we can give them. We do everything that we keep them clean and work with them.
Do you remember, you said earlier that about the flood, do you remember any other disasters when you were a child? Well, for one, do you remember the flu epidemic in
1918? Yes, sir. I remember lots of people died, you know, with flu. And we finally had a Dr. Porter came to our house in the country. He told us about not to leave the house because we might catch this flu. This was a new one. It was brought over from World War I. And I said this. It was a disease that came from the people that went to the war in World War I and brought it back to the United States. And people were just dying like everything. And more people died that year, I believe, than I've ever heard. And this episode, when my mother died, left us children. Dad, my daddy had to take care of us, but it was that old flea. And he married again, and his wife had typhoid fever, drinking all filter water, as it was called. And we had to go out and get the water and boil it before we could, you know, let anybody drink it. So many things come and go in mind, but I do know a lot of things. Mm-hmm.
Did any of your, anybody you know serving in World War One?
Yeah, I know who did.
Did any of your family?
I had two brothers. He was in World War One. And I worked in World War One. Because I had to go to the field and do the work, and when they took the boys away from the house and put them in the army, we had to keep alive. We worked. Get a meal and plant a garden and feed the rest of the family.
And, okay, those were both older brothers?
Yes, they were older.
Did they say anything about being in the war?
They never talked too much about it. They were really glad to get home, you know, and safe, and was not killed in the war. And they got back and married and got, you know, families.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they all dead now. But two of them did go. Then we had lots of, Daddy's oldest brother had, I think, 15 children. All of them went in the world.
Hmm.
Now, we didn't have anybody, because I just had girls. And my youngest sister's children were old enough to go on to World War II. So we didn't have any family anymore.
Hmm. What? Could you just go through who your brothers and sisters were and what their occupations were? You mentioned two of them were in the war.
That's right. Louis is the oldest one. Alan was one of them. You get those two?
Mm-hmm.
Robert.
Okay.
Will. Benny.
Excuse me?
Dovey, D-O-V-I.
Okay.
I think that's all. How many is that?
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Listen, I have to go. Did I say Benny?
Had Looney, Alan, Robert, Will, Benny, and Dovey.
Eugene?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, how many of that, six boys?
Seven?
That's right. And then we had girls. There was Lily, Bessie, Clara, Florida, and Jane.
Well.
How many was that?
12.
We don't know. Did I put Eugene?
Eugene.
What is this all? You usually forget when you get older. They all gone anyway, except me.
Do you remember any, were there any organizations which your family belonged to? Like fraternal organizations or burial societies?
We didn't have any of those things. We didn't have any of those things. This is my son-in-law.
Hi. Yes, sir. How are you? Hi. Joe Robinson.
Will Hyatt.
Nice meeting you.
We didn't have any of those.
Okay. How often would you have gone to Greenville or Anderson when you were a young girl?
I never went to Anderson until I went there to work. Back in the 40s, the first time I went to Anderson. And my oldest sister, did I have Lily's name on there?
Yes, ma'am.
She lived in
Nice meeting you. See you again.
Nice meeting you.
And I sailed off and went to Greenville. I wanted to see her because she was, had two boys. And, you know, we're just at home and go down and see her and chill. And, well, as soon as my brothers and all got grown, and families, they moved away. And they lived in Detroit.
Which ones were those?
Looney.
He moved to Detroit.
That's right. And Alan. And Doug. And Will to Detroit. There were four of them in Detroit. And Robert was in New York.
And
Eugene was in Philadelphia.
And Benny?
He died before he went in place. He didn't leave the South Carolina.
How about your sisters? Where did most of them live?
My older sister lived in Greenville.
That's Lily?
Sure.
And the rest of them?
Bertie, she died in Oakland College. Where is she living?
Is that Bessie?
No, Bessie in Anderson County, she did too.
And Clara?
She's there too. She's in Oakland County.
Okay. And Channing?
She was a travel dress. That was Greenwood County, I believe it was. That's up there, back up near Mary Allison. That's where she lived.
How old were your brothers when they went to Detroit and New York and Philadelphia?
Well, they were all grown, and they were tired of working in the field and on the farm. They heard about this. Well, first they started from Connecticut. There's a bunch of people were leaving there, going to tobacco farms in Connecticut, and they went up and in to get work, and they didn't like working. They were crawling on their knees, picking tobacco in Parkland, and they went to other places. But they only worked one season at those places, and they went and bought their homes and things in Detroit, New York, Philadelphia, just scattered around everywhere.
Did they come back and visit here much when they were younger and just started?
Well, they would come as long as Dad lived. Mm-hmm. And they'd come to see him every year. And they could get off. They'd get a vacation, you know. It's something we never had here. It was a vacation. Mm-hmm. And when they'd get a vacation, they'd all come down. We'd have something like a reunion. Yeah, stayed away till the season of the year they wanted to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when the watermelons, they didn't have watermelons in Detroit. They always loved to come down here, and I tried to keep the watermelons growing as long as I could, but I can't handle it anymore. In fact, they're not around anymore.
What other, what was it like around Christmas when you were young? Were there any special parades or parties?
Yes, we only went to church. We always had a Christmas tree at the church. And we put the gifts for each brother on the packet, and they never would know what they was going to get for Christmas until they go to this Christmas tree at the church, and we'd have service there. And after the service, then we'd all give the gifts that was on the tree. And then we never had a tree in our house. We never heard of a Christmas tree until I had my children starting that. But coming up, we never seen a Christmas tree. But we'd go out and dig, cut a big cedar, and if it was on somebody else's place, we'd get permission to cut down a cedar or pine, and we'd put it in the church. And we put the gifts, everybody, name, and that's where we celebrate Christmas. Then, Thanksgiving time, we'd always, and I hate that old turkey, we'd raise old turkeys. And we'd go have, all of us would have to cook all day at Christmas, I mean Thanksgiving. Because the men would be out shooting turkeys, and they would shoot, you know, and they wanted, could kill the closest to the target, we'd get the first turkey. And that's the kind of way we celebrate Thanksgiving. Christmas, too, we always have big cakes, lots of cider. We didn't know about whiskey till later years. But we'd have apple cider. We put those apples on a churn, little about this tall, and pour water on it and let ferment. And we get sugar and sweeten it, and we put it back in this and take all the pulp and everything out and let it ferment again, you know, just a little sugar. And we'd add it again about whole Thanksgiving. And we'd seal it and let it stay there until Christmas. And that's the way. And then we'd bake cakes, pies, and we had sweet potato pies. And we just had a long time in our big house. It was cold, but we never felt cold. Now we freeze to death in a good house. All this was happy days for us. We didn't know anything better back then.
What would were your mother's most prized possessions that she had?
You mean since she died?
Well, when she was living, furniture or quilts or anything that her parents had given to her or anything like that that you remember?
Yes, I have a quilt that she made. It has piece of cloth from everybody. So my brothers had this, we had to make the shirts, and we'd take a piece and put that in, a piece of quilt. that she always, and I kept that. Then they got to where they make what you call big things about like this. They call it the yo-yo flip. I had that. Hmm. And I don't remember the mouse. We didn't even open up in the trailer.
But you still have that?
I still have them.
Did what was did your father have a prized possession? Anything that he passed on to any of his children?
No, he never had anything like that. Cause his gun, I have it. That was after all the boys died. That's when I got the gun. Cause they kept it. He always killed rabbits and things like that. They like the hunting up there in the country, you know, on Thanksgiving. Me and would go out and kill them. And we kept a turkey. We raised and kill that turkey and cook it. Thanksgiving turkey. And then they'd have what you call turkey shooting. And the one that got, it had this big round thing, the black, let me take black shoe polish and make this round circle. One got the center of it, would get the whole turkey. Then they'd have to share it with the other. Well, they would share it, but they was the owner of that turkey. It was a lot of fun. Think about that now, sometimes I said, wasn't that crazy? It was a lot of fun. Always at Thanksgiving now, we had a hog kill, and we killed about two or three hogs at Thanksgiving. We'd go to this house and that house, and all of us would be cooking pots of stuff and taking it to this big house. We'd eat Thanksgiving. And Christmas, we'd come back, and maybe the next brother would sponsor it, I would say, at that time. And kill a hog, and well, we had to fix those chitlins.
No.
All this, I'm so glad all that's passed. But it was fun, baby. This is just the old things that I did. You've never done that, have you?
I've eaten, I guess, fried and boiled chitlins.
I don't want it now. I did this because I had to survive.
My wife can't stand them, but...
well, I had to eat them because I had to survive. That's the only thing I ate.
Mm-hmm.
I never loved it. Wild taste.
Mm-hmm. What were some of your memories about growing up before the flood in Oconee County?
Well, the only thing I could remember about that time is we'd go to Sunday school. We had to read from a little book. I guess it's about like this, called Catechism. I don't know if you've heard of that now.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have to learn. First, they'd start you off with what the ABCs would be up here. And then you'd have to find out what word would start. Anything would start with an A, like Anson. My daddy was named Anson. And that's the A, spell his name. Now the ones that had B, we'd have to put a name of that. And this way the children were named at that time. And we had this brother, we couldn't, his name was Wood, but we come up with this name of Bully, you know, we put the B in there. We named him Bully. That was our nickname for him, but his name was Will. You have a name down there, but this is the way we came. Then we had a sister named Lily. And we used the L there. It was a word, you know, her name. I don't know how we survived, but we did. And we had lots of fun at that. Then... we always had popcorn. We had what you call a popcorn pan. We put popcorn in there, shake it, put a lid over so the popcorn would wasn't anything like a little basket I found later that you could pop popcorn. You'd fold over the fire. Big fire. Have, oh, sometime a whole bushel. That was a lot of hard work.
When you were a child, how'd you feel about being black? Or did you think about it?
I didn't ever think about it. I never thought about it. And I still don't think about it. I just know about it, you know, that I am. But I always, I guess, we worked with the whites all my life. We lived because when my daddy was married four times, and each time we'd have to go live with someone. And I lived with white people. In fact, to be honest, I didn't know I was black for a long time.